Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Did you say Hairmaster?
No, you dimwit. Airmaster.
Caremaster?
No, Airmaster.
Daremaster?
Clean your ears out. I said Airmaster.
Stairmaster?
Oops, don't try that one. It's probably trademarked by someone else. Airmaster.
Ha ha, got you on that one. I said Stairmaster. S-T-A-R-E, Master. Tearmaster?
I'm going to tear you. Airmaster!
Oh, I get it. Airmaster.
Yes, Airmaster.
But what do they do?
Airmaster Aerator, the patented aerator that makes a difference. More than an aerator, a complete waste treatment system. Airmaster Aerator.
The following column was written by Jim Thompson. Jim entitled his column, Energy Trends Month. And here's what he has to say about that. Jim says, last week I was in Norway. I wish that when I landed there I had started counting the Tesla automobiles. I was there for a brief 3 days before I headed over to Finland, and I'll bet I saw 200 or 300 Teslas. Certainly I saw more than I have ever seen in the United States since they were introduced here a number of years ago. I came to find out there are great tax incentives available for Tesla owners in Norway. When it was introduced in Norway in 2013, the Tesla tax advantage was about $135,000, when the price of the car was $112,000. The government was paying high-income individuals who could take advantage of all the tax breaks to take the car. Last October, the Norwegian government was talking about cutting the Tesla tax advantage, but by November, that was off the table. Norway leads the world in electric vehicle ownership at 28.8% as compared to 0.9% in the United States. And all this drives home the point that old Jim has made many times over and over. Energy costs are political. I don't care if you're talking oil, gas, coal, wood, solar, wind, thermal, or any other energy source you can conjure up, they all have their proponents and detractors. It's just a matter of what is in favor at a particular time, at a particular location in the world, when you're talking about energy costs. We seldom see energy costs as a pure cost of extraction and production, plus overhead and profit. Energy costs nearly always have some asterisks beside their category. There was a time when this was not so. In the 1970s and early 1980s, we were genuinely worried about running out of energy and doing so soon. It has now become an issue of what price and what is politically correct. In the 1970s, gas stations closed at dusk, and the speed limit was 55 miles per hour. No longer. Of course, it is the same in industrial settings as it is in the retail settings I have been discussing here. We have every sort of energy generator we can think of at our pulp and paper mill locations. So what is a manager to do? I've cautioned in the past, do not remove an energy-generating device unless it is completely worn out. It just may come back in favor. Worse than that, though, is the problem of planning. It is difficult to plan more than a couple of years out when it comes to energy sources. Which leaves the frustrated mill manager with one solution. Use as little energy as possible. I don't care what form it is in. Using less eliminates the other problems of qualifying for rebates, discounts, tax breaks, and so forth. Over the years, I have found using less energy is a never-ending exercise. One can go through a mill thoroughly 1 year, and come back 2 years later and find significant savings again. We'll talk about these opportunities in coming weeks. Speaking of energy, most of it is dangerous. Be careful around any energized sources. Be safe, and we will talk next week. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson and is copyright 2018, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Are you facing a complex installation, expansion, greenfield project, or maintenance project? Make the smart choice. C.R. Meyer, a nationwide industrial general contractor, specializes in the pulp and paper industry. Our skilled millwrights, pipe fitters, iron workers, boiler makers, carpenters, laborers, cement finishers, operators, and a team of experienced project managers, architects, and engineers are safe, effective, and efficient on any project, planned or unplanned. Take the smart step toward getting your next project finished safely and done well. Contact C.R. Meyer at crmeyer.com.
The following column was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan, reading it for Jim. Jim entitled his column simply, Lighting. And here's what he has to say about lighting. Perhaps it is a statement about where we are on energy savings, but I am noticing these days more and more emphasis in mills and with suppliers on operations lighting. When I was young, the tendency was to add more lights so we could see the operations better. A good thing. Now we are moving toward what might be called smart lighting. I observed a dark warehouse construction project about 6 years ago. It made sense. It is fully automatic. No one is allowed in or works in it, so why have the lights on? There are lights, of course, they're just not on during normal operations. Now machine suppliers are suggesting that lighting should be moved to being directly on the machine and come on only when a human gets within a prescribed distance from each light bank. I think this works as long as it is a fail-safe system, assuring that no one falls into machinery because they cannot see. There is no reason why this cannot be done in any machine hall environment, operating floor, or basement. Put each light on a motion detector and make sure it comes on only when somebody walks within range. You can do this in your basement areas right now. Of course, there can be overrides for such times as maintenance shutdowns, so the lights will not be flashing on and off all the time. I first noticed this on-demand lighting in the big box retail stores, in their freezer cases. The lights would come on as you walked by, then time out after a few seconds if you did not stop and linger. This has been going on for at least 10 years. I think our attitude in the industry has been that lighting is merely a rounding error in our overall energy cost equation. Perhaps it is time for us to put pencil to paper and run the numbers, so to speak. I thought you might need a sentence full of buzzwords to wake you up. If one starts to think about turning off lights when we don't need them, there are many areas of the mill that can qualify for this assessment. It will take a complete change of thinking, for our attitude until recently has been the more lights the better. I know that has been my attitude. Some of this came also from the days when we had to look visually at the product, or at least thought we had to look at the product, in order to ascertain its quality. Those days are rapidly becoming history. The sensors we have today do a better job than we ever did with our eyes in ascertaining product quality. Most of them do not need the lights on to work properly. Of course, we can't go down this path without thinking about safety, for the orientation of human beings in their environment has much to do with their visual acuity. It will take a strong collaboration with life scientists or other appropriate professionals to make sure lights off, lights on is not a disorienting experience causing a safety problem or perhaps even long-term health problems. But I think we should try. This is an idea that's good for our bottom line and good for the environment. Be safe, and we will talk next week. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson and is copyright 2018, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Companies all over North America think of Fulton Systems for their thermocompressor and steam systems needs, all the way from initial design to startup to troubleshooting. For more than 90 years, Fulton Systems has helped companies keep thousands of thermocompressors operating smoothly and assisted mills with hundreds of paper machine rebuilds. Turn to Fulton Systems for steam and condensate system design, dryer suction performance audits, and consulting services on all aspects of dryer suction and condensate systems management and operations. Call us at 770-447-1400. Visit our website at fultonsystems.com. The following column was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan, reading it for Jim. Jim entitled this column, Energy Mistakes, and here's what he has to say about that. I have cautioned the readers of this column many times not to get carried away with the energy trend du jour. It can be fatal to your enterprise. At the same time, I have cautioned you to watch for politically driven energy initiatives from governments. Being in industry for all the time that energy shortages and costs have been in the forefront, I have seen some really crazy expenditures caused by companies and managers caught up in the hysteria of the day. We certainly need reliable energy sources to keep our enterprises operating in the present, but we must be careful in such times to do the best we can to perceive what may actually happen in the long run. Many years ago, I saw lenders force a borrower to hedge natural gas prices in order to secure a loan. The borrower had no choice, but this little clause in the loan agreement likely cost millions of dollars before it could be flushed out of the system. This happened just before, but while we had hints of things to come, just before the arrival of fracking. Many years before that, I worked at a facility which had built a fuel oil storage depot on a major river about 40 miles from the mill when they thought they would not be able to procure enough oil for energy. I was around long enough to watch it be built and later watch it be dismantled. How many millions did that cost? With the recent rise in gasoline prices, old fears about the cost of fuel seem to be returning. Recent newspaper articles talk of gas thieves returning to drain your automobile tank. The modern method of doing this is to drive a screwdriver into the tank, collect the results in a pan, and leave you with the necessity of replacing your gas tank. The biggest mistake I have seen in this area in our industry was the decision many years ago to locate a mill near a power plant for the cogeneration economies while ignoring the surroundings. There was no place to sell the paper and no place for employees to live. While the mill is still operating, it has never, to my knowledge, lived up to its potential. But it has not been for the lack of economical energy. At the retail level, California recently passed a bill mandating solar panels on new homes. California is big enough and sunny enough market that this may affect electricity prices over an area far larger than only California. It will be interesting to see what this does to the electricity market. As I always say, however, the best thing that can happen is to minimize using energy from any source. This keeps the energy loop as much under your control as possible. Of course, virgin pulp mills have done this for years. The energy produced in the recovery cycle has evolved to being more than enough to cover the pulp mill's needs. Some recycled mills have installed waste fuel boilers. I can think of three off the top of my head. Waste fuel boilers that capture local waste streams and produce energy for their own use. I can think of another recycled mill that buys energy from a waste-to-steam producer within 1 mile. When it comes to decision-makers involved in energy decisions, you'll find in most companies these days personnel with enough experience to know what makes sense and what is nonsense in the long term. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson and is copyright 2018, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Well, it's time to start planning our annual recovery boiler outage again.
Yes, it is. Budgets are tighter than ever, even though business is good. And speaking of good business, sales is pressuring us to have as short an outage as possible. They need the production.
Well, getting in a hurry costs money and can lead to safety problems.
I know, and you know we are always under pressure for our safety record, too. It seems like corporate has nothing better to do than to keep pushing us on every front.
I think I have a solution to all of these problems.
What's that?
RMR Mechanical. They've done a great work for us in the past and have a great safety record, too. They almost always beat the schedule.
Sounds like this meeting is over.
RMR Mechanical. The only name you need to know for an economical, quick, and safe boiler outage. Phone 770-205-9646 or visit us on the web at rmrmechanical.com.
The following column was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Steve Rausch, and I'll be reading this column for Jim. This week's column is entitled Energy Trends Back to the Future, Consolidated Water, Power, and Paper Company. And here's what Jim has to say about that. Jim writes, "The evening of May 17th, 2018 found me in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, having dinner with my dear friend George W. Meade and his wife Susan. As we wrap up Energy Trends Month, I got to thinking. George was the last chairman of Consolidated Paper before it was sold to Stora Enso. George's ancestor, J. D. Witter, was one of the founders of the company back when it was called Consolidated Water, Power, and Paper Company, circa 1901 and 1902. In those days, it was common for pulp and paper mills to produce electricity for sale as well as manufacturing paper. Some of this still goes on, but I think we should look to the future, and I'll suggest these combined activities may become even more prevalent in the future. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that Tesla is one of the most popular automobiles in Norway, and electric vehicles account for 29% of all autos in that country. Electric airplanes are now under serious development. SAE International has a committee working on standards for electric airplanes. And as a side note, my wife, Laura, is one of the staff professionals leading this effort. Electric airplanes will become a reality when the density of energy in batteries equal that in the jet fuel. That is the only measurable goal needed to make them possible. In the meantime, large electric drones are already starting to make inroads into the work done by small fossil fuel helicopters. Electric cars, except for hybrids to a certain extent, and electric airplanes do not generate energy. They need an energy supply just like their fossil fuel cousins do now. Electric cars, electric airplanes, where are they going to get all of that energy they need? Pulp and paper mills have been generating electricity for as long as electricity has been commercially available. Cogeneration is a natural symbiotic relationship between paper mills and power plants. Pulp mills can generate surplus energy compared to what they require to operate. The future just may be more cooperation, co-siting of electrical generation facilities and pulp and paper assets. If the land and air transportation industries demand more electricity in the future, it is going to have to come from somewhere. Hydroelectric is near capacity, and where it does not exist, there is resistance to installing it. Fossil fuels are certainly out of favor. Wind and solar cannot fill the gap. Renewable energy available at pulp and paper mills, coupled with advanced pollution control systems, could be a viable answer. Suddenly, a pulp and paper asset has another product stream, electricity, to sell. Even in times going back a half century or more, pulp and paper mills sold electricity to off-site consumers. Doing more of this in the future certainly makes sense. The new biomills, being built in places like Finland, will offer such side stream products as well. These mills are looking not at pulp and paper as final products, but rather how can we maximize the value of the cellulose. This is upside down and progressive thinking as compared to what we have been doing in the past. Consolidated power and paper just may be the path to the future for humankind. For safety this week, electricity looks to be so benign until it is loosed from its sheath. Inspect cables and extension cords regularly. Be safe, and we will talk next week.
Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson and is copyright 2018, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.